Welcome to Animateez, a retro anime review comedy podcast. Join our resident anime nerd Mackenzie and anime noob Lindsay as they delve into their VHS vault and review the best and worst of what the 80s and 90s had to offer. These episodes contain spoilers and adult language, so stick around if you're cool like that.
All right. Hey, hi, hello, everybody. Welcome back to your favorite anime review podcast, Animateez. My name is Lindsay, and I'm here with my fabulous co-host, Mackenzie. Mackenzie, are you ready to rock this week?
Oh, I'm going to assume that the words "are you ready to rock" are somewhat relevant to this week's series.
I mean, nothing gets past you, my friend.
So I'm going to say yes,
because
I'm usually ready to rock.
I mean, if there's one little thing we know about me, is that I did listen to a lot of visual K music back in high school. So we're kind of dipping into that this week with, yeah, another way we're going back to my high school.
We did the fashion side, so I guess it makes sense to do the music side.
Yep. Also, this one is also related to that author, because this series that we're reviewing, I'm going to say series, it's actually an OVA, inspired series, like music manga, like Beck and Nana. So this week we are watching the OVA from 1987 called Toy.
Just Toy?
Yep. So for those of you who want to Google it, it is spelled T-O-Y. It's kind of an underground series, kind of like a cult classic that a lot of people might not know of, because it was part of that kind of time period where people would get things from Japan, but there wouldn't be any sort of like subbing or anything. So fans would sub it and then distribute it.
The old days of fan subbing.
Yes.
Good old LimeWire and Kazaa downloads.
Ah, who doesn't love that? But yeah, so... So it's a music manga that was written by Atsushi Kamijo. I apologize for my pronunciation.
It's okay.
But it was a very successful series about this guy named Toi Fujii, who is the lead singer of a J-rock band called Gasp. And
Gasp.
And it's, I know, shocking, isn't it?
All of their songs are just him up there just like.
It's just him going.
Now that's punk.
Yeah, no, they are a punk band, but it's basically about this lead singer of this band who is trying to wrestle with that classic like artistic like integrity versus success and climbing the ladder and things like that. Basically, do I
sign my soul away to the record label?
Exactly. So we follow him as he is like in a punk band that's, you know, doing small time gigs in nightclubs in Shinjuku and stuff like that. And he is being kind of like courted by a major label trying to be like, ditch your band and become an idol. And so it's him kind of dealing with that struggle of, you know, what to do with that. And it was very influential, like I said, on for things to come like Beck and Nana. So if you like that, you'll probably want to check this out too. Just to see where these references came from.
I like a good music anime when it's done well. Sometimes they're done terribly. But I do what I usually did, and I Googled and I looked at two images. I see our rocker boy, who just looks like an average Joe, but that doesn't mean you can't be in a punk band. But then I also see like an 80s goth rock girl with like a butterfly knife.
Okay, fun fact. I also saw that goth rock girl. Turns out it's a boy.
Oh.
Yeah,
I mean, which is still, also they're still like attractive looking.
Oh, so hot. Which I mean is also very on key for visual K music, because it's always like, I don't know what gender these people are, but I love their music. So
okay.
Yeah,
dig it. Yeah. No, I'm stoked. I was worried. I remember in our banter before the episode, I was like, none of us have really screwed with the other one in a while when it comes to what we're watching. So I was like, I feel like I'm about to get something bad thrown at me.
I know,
but I'm not. I think this will be pretty good. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited for you to watch it too. I feel like we're gonna have some really good conversations about this one after.
Hell yeah!
Run away, go headbang, and watch this, and I don't know. Come back and let's talk.
Guitar solo, me out. Okay, Mario.
So we're back. How'd you feel about that one, Mackenzie?
As someone who grew up in the punk scene, I was able to connect with like a lot of this more than others might have, because I went to shows, I played in some punk bands, terrible ones, mind you. I ran merch for bands and I put on shows back in the day. So I've seen some of like the musician has a chance to make it big, but only if he leaves his band scenarios in real life. Thankfully, much like this movie, these characters ain't no punks. They're punks with an X.
Thank you. Thank you for distinguishing those two for us.
While relatively simplistic in like the style, because like, you know, there's a lot of city streets, right?
Yeah, I agree.
It's a lot of drab city, but it's done in a way that really pulls you into that like street level story that this whole thing's about.
Well, and it takes place in August, and it definitely felt like it conveyed that very well.
They utilize color where it needs to be utilized. It's not just like trying to force it everywhere. Like, this is a scene, a movie about a punk band and all the streets have neon signs. And it's like, no, it's just like a street in a city.
Yeah.
It's nothing crazy. It's part of the industrial complex. It's a pub at the bottom of a bunch of apartments. And
very grounded in reality.
Yeah. And it doesn't detract from the story. Sometimes you need those big visuals and sometimes they take away. In this case, they didn't do them and that didn't take away. If anything, it added to it by, you know, making when the exciting colorful parts do happen more exciting.
Yeah. And for being a show that is about characters that are grounded very much in reality and like people that are just like normal people. They aren't glamorous. Like, this isn't about a band that's huge and stuff like that. Like, it didn't need to have those big, crazy colors and graphics and stuff like that, because it would take away from it. There would be too much of a polarization between like the content and what they're saying and the design of it.
Exactly. And don't get me wrong, there's still great design in this.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like, every character is unique. Like, hell, even when there was, I don't know, 30 goth and punk kids on screen at once towards the end, they all more or less had different outfits on that were perfectly matched to the times.
Yeah, their backgrounds for these, like the background characters, were very well defined.
The artists did their research on the punk and goth subcultures of the 80s as it was happening, I guess, technically. Because this shit
went
was
outside.
So spot on. It was perfect. Because it was like, it wasn't, because like, it was very different in Japan and like America for like the goth in the 80s and stuff like that. You could see a lot of it was very clearly like American goth and like European goth influences. Very like Susie and the Banshees and all that kind of jazz, with like the big hair and whatnot, especially some certain characters. But as for like the main characters, you know, we've got Toy, Nia, and Hiro. Toy and Hiro have basically the same personalities. They're quiet, they're confident, a little bit broody, but they're still able to have fun. Clearly the leads of their individual operations. And I like that. Mm-hmm. And I love Hidoro's look and vibe so much. However, I will explain later why that love has been tainted by a surprise.
Yeah, but I think
yeah, and after that case, it left my love for Nia just remaining.
Yeah, I was just like, ooh.
Now, Nia is an interesting case here, because I talk about how everything's fairly grounded.
Mm-hmm.
However, when it comes to Nia, Nia is the perfect amount of silly that a story of like this needs, because I'm pretty sure her name is also Nia because of Nian, which is a word for meow. But also, when you say Nia twice, Nia Nia, in Japanese, it means grinning when you're up to something, which perfectly explains our quote-unquote cat-like friend.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. I didn't know that. I love that.
And like, she's great. She sees life through rose-colored glasses and she just wants to live life and have
just
fun.
Just perpetual optimist.
And, which is something I definitely need to do more of, but that's a whole other story. So she's often animated like as having realistic cat ears and cat eyes, which might seem contradictory, like I mentioned earlier, to the realistic kind of style of all this, but it doesn't. It kind of creates this perfect balance from all of the other characters to just this one, because we all know Nia, and she just wants everyone to be happy, running errands for everybody, cheering them up, carrying around a real cat. I think she's great.
Yeah.
And then we've got like the supporting characters, like his band.
Yeah,
we don't really hear them talk like all that much, but they still kind of have their own unique personalities.
Yeah. Even in how they like stand or walk or whatever, mm-hmm. like you were still able to kind of get different personalities out of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, like the bassist Isami, the angry leather jacket boy. Or like
brooding,
the guitarist
heavily.
Soji, the fashion boy with his stripes and beret.
Oh my gosh, he was very Captain Sensible to me.
Yeah. And then my favorite, which is Momo, the drummer, who's just like this happy-go-lucky bald guy who's just having a great time and like...
I'm just playing drums in a punk band, whatever, it's great.
Yeah, he's just feeling it, you know? We all know a bald guy like that. They all have good time. So yeah, with all that said, overall, I think it is absolutely worth a watch. It's only 50 minutes. I quite enjoyed it. It will not be for everyone.
No.
If you don't like very serious slice of life stories, especially related to music, you're obviously not going to like it. If you think it might be for you, I would love if you guys stayed around and listened to me break it down. Or you should pause, go watch it, and come back so you can kind of joke along and get the references that I'm talking about. But regardless, please stay and listen.
Please help our metrics out.
Please.
We love analytics.
But yeah, let's actually talk about what I watched specifically with Toy. We start with our intro and our intro song, which for a movie about a punk/rock band, the intro's music is pretty tame.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is a thing about like a punk scene, and we're gonna start with this theme song. Okay.
Yeah. It was...
There's no electric guitar in it, or there's very little of it.
And this shows like a band on stage, and it doesn't match up at all.
Nope.
I get into this more later, but anime has a problem with this. But yeah, this whole like song is paired with scenes of the city and like scenes of Nia running towards the club to join her boyfriend Toy. And she like instantly gives off this mix of like Pi from 3X3Eyes and Uzaki-chan vibes. They both got the little fangs. They both just happy to be around you. And I was like, at that point, because that was the first time I saw the character, I was like, I'm going to like them. They seem fun.
What? Mackenzie likes the cat character?
We start with some like moody introspection because at the club, Toy punched out this rather well-known celebrity. And his band is giving him some not so subtle chastising about this because it caused him to get banned from the venue.
Okay, fine. I guess. Yeah.
There's only so many venues a punk band in the 80s can play at.
Well, and I'm also like, it's a punk show in the 80s. Like, was this the one time that they're like, we're really going to crack down on this?
Toy doesn't care, though. He just like, and just heads off. Nia just like runs off after him and whatnot. And we jump cut to the guy that he punched, Yoji, in the middle of filming a music video with a fresh bruise on his face.
Oh, man.
With some of... the most 80s dancing I've ever seen.
So 80s. Even the shoulders on his suit. Oh my gosh.
Giving them shoulder shimmies.
Well, he had to with those pads.
And like that kind of end. Sorry, as that's going on, his manager is talking to another musician, Sonico, aka Hidaro, to stop introducing Yoji to weirdos. But all Hidaro wants to know is what this executive thought of Toy's vocals. And the executive's like, oh, I see how it is. And I didn't really think much of that at the time. I thought her manager's like, oh, you think he's cute? Mm. And then all of a sudden, I am thrown into a seizure as we jump to the filming of Sonico, aka Hidaro's music video, which, again, we don't hear her sing. Instead, we get this terrible track that sounds like it belongs in a bad Super Nintendo game with too much train whistle in it.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a ringtone for the next iPhone.
Yeah, it was not a good song. It was so bad. And I was like,
it was a choice.
And it sucks because I'm like, Hidaro's such a babe. And all these scenes, like she's dancing, having a good time. It was not a good pairing of song.
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed about this one. For like something about music, it has very weird choices for the music,
the whole fucking thing. Normally I'm like, oh, check out the OST. The OST to this is not great.
Yeah, you don't need to for a music music OVA. Don't check out the music.
no, definitely not. While all that's happening, Yoji is done filming or whatever, and he's making jokes about how he couldn't do any close-ups tonight, and his manager kind of seems interested in like toy, which makes him a little angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then we jump to a shower scene.
Ooh. /
get ready with me scene for Hidoro, which just solidifies that she's a babe. She's rocking this like cute corset outfit and like a wolf haircut. And you know, I love a wolf cut.
Oh, they're so good.
So good. Everyone like, get a wolf cut. Got
oh my
girl
gosh, I
in
love
between.
A wolf cut. Yeah, them. It works for everybody. Man.
So she leaves the building. She goes past a bunch of like adoring fans and heads back home where she undresses into lingerie.
Very seductively.
Crawling on her hands and knees towards a man in bed who turns out to be Toy? Question mark.
What? Except it's not because like Nia just like is under the covers?
Well, yeah. So she like starts like moving her hand up his leg underneath the blanket as she's crawling towards him and feels some hair, which is animated, of course, as Nia's cat ears. All of a sudden, like Nia's eyes as she lifts up the blanket kind of poke out. And she's like, who the fuck are you?
Very, very good question.
And Nia's just like all chill and sleepy. And she's like, oh, I'm Toy's lover. Meow, meow. And this leads us to a very comical like silhouette from like viewing it from the outside of the apartment.
Oh, I loved like, it.
Chase scene.
It was
like comically drawn.
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so like Looney Tunes. Like, what is going on?
Oh yeah, she's like pulling her by the cattail. She's like climbing up the walls, hanging upside down. Very funny. Mm-hmm. At one point, the light gets turned on and Toy kind of like sits up.
Yeah, he's all like rocky and sexy and in bed, whatever.
Like, what are you doing? And they're like, and then he just tells them to keep it down and they just both go to sleep in his bed. No one seems too bothered by this fact.
Nope, not at all. And I was like, oh, well, that conflict ended super fast.
And then it gets even weirder because it's not like she came to his house to like get sexy with him. It's her fucking house.
She pays the bills.
It is Hidoro's bed. And we learn this in the next scene, which can only be described as a silent film. Because it shows like some bit of animation and then like a cue card on screen of what they're actually saying.
Yeah. Which I was like, okay, interesting. We're changing up the narrative
style.
A weird
choice.
Yeah.
Sure. And it's basically like, why is she here? And then her kind of being like, wait a second, you're Sonico. You're famous. And then locking her on the patio and then feeding each other in front of Nia as she's locked on the patio, just like crying at the glass, drawn as a cat. It's very cute. And there's also a trope that we see here where like he like does the thing you do with dogs where you like shoot your handgun at them and they play dead.
Oh, yep.
Because like every time he does that to Nia, she like, bleh, like falls over dead, which is cute.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a very weird scene where it's like, ha ha ha. I'm not that bothered that she's here. So I'm just going to mess with her. And I didn't, I just thought it was weird. And I was like, all right, they're just chill people, whatever. Maybe they're poly. I don't know. So then we get a very stylistic gasp, the name of the band, practice scene, with like cuts of scenes from the band members' individual lives. Nothing crazy. That's it.
Yeah.
However,
we have
still yet to hear Toy sing. He's seen singing and animated singing a lot, but none of the music matches up to the band at all.
I love
except for the drummer.
Yeah. This whole thing is like, we want to sign you to be an idol because you're such a good singer. And then it's like, we haven't heard him sing.
No, not fucking once.
All we know is that he's good looking, so he should be an idol.
And like, he gets told that he gets a note from a woman, and I'm assuming it's the record executive, and he throws it away. Yeah, and then the next scene is basically just a bunch of punk and goth folks trying to get tickets to the next Gasp show. Man, it reminds me how much I love goth and punk girls. Because the ones in the record store were just like absolute babes.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's one thing that this movie or this OVA did was remind me about how much I love punk and goth style.
Oh, the days of rocking a two-foot-tall mohawk and leopard print pants.
You miss those days.
Sometimes. Definitely don't fit into those pants anymore. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, same here.
Anyways, tickets are sold out. That was the whole gist of that scene, was the tickets are sold out. And this is actually where we see Kai for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And they look like they want to eat Toy up.
Just devour him, no bones.
And they're a weird character.
Yeah.
So now we're back at Hidro's apartment, and Nia is still there and is not picking up on the you should fucking leave thing.
Yeah.
And so everyone's just eating watermelon and watching Yoji's newest music video, and it kind of fades off into the ether.
It's funny
because
I thought it was like a music performance show, because they had, I know when I was listening to a lot of K-pop music, they had like weekly like chart shows where these bands would show up and like play the music, perform live.
Oh, you know what? You might be right. I think I was thrown off because when Hidro was doing hers, her outfit was changing like every other scene. So maybe it was just they were only showing slow clips instead of actually like a music video thing. You might be correct.
Also, I love the outfit she wears around the house. It's so gorgeous.
Oh, the grayish black one?
Yeah, it's like a black apron dress, but it's like super sexy.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Oh, man.
So our next scene is a gymnastic scene where we learn that the executive, Kashiko, is still trying to find Toy. And it appears he knows he knows what she wants and is ignoring her, but she finds him at a park. And then we get a dramatic windy rooftop scene with towels blowing all around them.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, I was like, we gotta get those towels in there. Some of them are flying off.
Yeah. And she explains that she wants him, but not his band. He'll be famous, but not if he stays with them. And like, man, first off, fuck idol culture, because that shit is so predatory.
I'm pretty sure that happened with Gwen Stefani and No Doubt. They were like, we want you, but not your band. And she was like, but it's my band, and we're a band.
She stuck with her band, though.
Yep, she did. Apparently they're reuniting for Coachella next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need money when you're no longer relevant. Hey, sorry to the No Doubt stance. I loved No Doubt growing up, all right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Loved No Doubt growing up. Gwen Stefani, though.
Anyways.
Yeah, so this isn't a Gwen Stefani podcast.
She's like, you could be more famous than Yoji. And he just responds and looks at her and he's like, sorry, who's that?
Such
as
a power
he like
move.
Walks away from her, she's like, you'll be back.
Yep. As she like keeps chain smoking.
With like piles of ashes on the ground. Yeah.
I was like, you've been here for like a 2-minute conversation and you've gone through 8 cigarettes. Holy moly.
Yeah.
Get a Nicorette.
Also, I forgot to fucking mention something here.
Oh, what did you forget to mention, Mackenzie?
Apparently, he's Hiro's fucking cousin.
Right? That was so weird when I found that out.
He's a cousin
fucker? Right? Because literally, like, when you first see them in the same scene, in that bed scene, it looks like she's trying to seduce someone. I thought he was, like, her boy toy. No, her cousin. It's so weird.
She literally is running her hand up the leg on her knees in lingerie
so
on one bed.
So seductively.
And there's other times, like, where it's mentioned before this, like, she's given the looks. She's like, Like, it is clear that they are hooking up. There is no way they're not. You don't share a bed with your cousin in your lingerie and rub your hand up his leg and then chase a girl around that says to be his lover when you think you're his lover, unless you're his fucking lover.
Exactly. Right? I was like, this is so strange.
And I really hoped that she just said that to get him a better chance or something, because then nope. And like,
yeah,
I Googled. Okay.
Did you Google cousin fucking in Japan?
No, I did not.
What pages
not
it came
that
up?
Specific term. I went to Google and I specifically searched, is it legal to date your cousin in Japan? And it turns out it's frowned upon, but it is legal. And in fact, the Prime Minister of Japan from 2010 to 2011 was married to his second cousin.
Okay. Well,
that being said, don't do that, folks.
Please don't.
There are some things that should not be kept in the family.
It's
heirlooms, no problem. Fucking get out.
Yeah, please don't keep, like, I just don't think your family tree should look like the Olympic rings. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Exactly. Oh, man. Anyways, we jump to like a pre-show practice scene with Naya dancing about singing about how the show is sold out. And then we find out that there's a record deal up for grabs for Gasp at the show. and everyone's super stoked about that. And then we get like a montage of, I think it's like a Chinese New Year celebration.
I think like, so too. It's something like that.
Toy and Neater having a good time at the fair and whatnot. Just a cute little date night. Yeah. And then the scene ends by us seeing goth boy Kai on the train, who turns out Toy already knows and they're friends.
I mean, if you're in the scene, I guess you would like know your, I guess, quote unquote, coworkers.
Yeah, but the way he said it and the way he looked at it when he said it was like a, yeah, we used to fuck back in the day kind of like vibe. And I was like, damn, Toy.
He gets around.
So we're back at Hidoro's house and she's mad and annoyed now. And again, it's because he's out on a date with this girl and not hanging out with her, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And she smacks the souvenirs out of Nia's hand. This includes a fish in a bag, which like flops on the floor, and she quickly picks it up all sad and runs to the doorway and then eats the fish.
Oh, because she's a cat person.
Now, she didn't actually eat the fish.
No.
But she like made it very clear she was. And then Hidoro's like, what the fuck are you doing? No, 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 no. Please don't do that. And then she's like,
which hey, fair reaction. You. Very fair reaction.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I hate it.
Ugh. And like, I still love Nia, but she's getting a bit obnoxious. Much for me. Yeah. And this is actually where we do learn that we officially confirmed that it is his actual cousin, which is just
so weird.
I'm not getting back into that.
Yeah. We've set our piece. This isn't a podcast about dating your cousin.
I wonder if that exists. Anyways. So we move
tweet
along
us.
To the next day. Tweet us if you've married your cousin and how fucked up your children look.
Tweet us if you know there's a cousin marriage podcast.
Please don't.
But only specifically for Japan.
Yeah. So we move to the next day where Toy ends up seeing Yoji in public and then he decides to go play pool with him instead of beating him up again,
as you do.
Which they seem to be getting along, so that's fucking cool.
But it's such like this weird macho like chess kind of mm-hmm. energy of like
yep.
I don't know, it's so interesting.
Who's gonna show their weakness first?
Ooh, who's gonna be the tough guy?
Yeah. And Yoji's like, look, I know you've been offered a contract, but then he goes on to be like, it kind of sucks. Did you know that? Like, you should do it. And if you do it, me and you could change the industry. Because right now, you don't get a say in what you do. And I was like, oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's like a business proposal.
Like, hey, I do want you to do this if you do it with me. And then we can make sure that it doesn't have to be crappy idol lifestyle. But Toy's like, nah, I'm good. Bye.
Yeah, no.
Just leaves. And that cuts us to our next scene where I really felt bad for Gasp because their concert has been canceled.
Oh, it's so terrible.
Replaced with the show for Yoji.
Yep.
Because
just this Rick Astley motherfucker.
Yeah. Because the executives decided to punish Toy for saying no to them.
Yeah. They're like, we tried to give you a treat, but now we're going to give you the stick. So have fun with that.
Yeah. So your big concert and your like record option and all this jazz, yeah, it's canceled.
Which I mean, like, if there's one thing I know about the punk industry is or not the punk industry, but punk group is that, that definitely stops them. They definitely won't do anything in return. They'll just take that on the chin and move on.
Well, the bass player tries to put it on Toy's chin when he throws some fisticuffs up trying to fight him. Because he's all mad about everything going on because they find out about his whole being
courted,
trying to be recruited and all that shit. Yeah. Yeah. Then we get this like another montage, which here's the thing. Sometimes montages are annoying, but in this, it saves so much fucking time.
Yeah,
this could have
which
easily been an hour and a half. But instead, we get a quick montage of some scenes of introspection as like Toy and Nia walk through a park. And of course, Toy's quiet and, you know, sitting on benches and Nia's running around chasing birds and
being a cat.
Some reason he looks up and sees a pigeon sitting on an archway and he just like has this epiphany.
He's like, oh my gosh, this pigeon is speaking to me on a spiritual level.
I rewatched that part probably 5 times.
He's like, I am the
pigeon.
Something. I am the trash bird.
But he just looks at this trash bird. And maybe that's it. He's like, you know what? I'm going to keep rebelling and be a pigeon.
You're right. I am a pigeon.
I was like, okay.
What? There's so many other
sure.
like Sure, this is the metaphor you're going to take. Great.
Yeah, fuck it. Sure, cool. Yeah. I don't know. It was weird, yeah. But it works for him, I guess. If that helps him, fine. And so we get a quick sexy pajama shop shot of Hitaro sleeping and then being awoken by her phone and its toy. And she's like, where have you been the last 3 days? But we don't actually hear his response. It cuts away really quick. At first that annoyed me. And I was like, no, it's probably just a story thing. We'll be told later. Don't worry about it. And we are. So that was fine.
not Mackenzie's favorite like plot device, but whatever.
Anyways, after that, it's the day of the concert. And most of the punks did not know that the concert was changed and it's now a Yoji concert. But they can keep their tickets and show up at the show, or they can get a refund. And the punks are mad, and the mods are grossed out by the punks. Like, it's a cultural civil war happening at the fairgrounds.
It's crazy. Oh, man.
And, of course, goth boy Kai stands spookily in the background.
With his butterfly knife.
Just, like, staring out into the distance. Ready to cut a bitch. The concert begins, and we have half the crowd cheering and half the crowd booing. And, again, Kai is standing there brandishing this knife as if he's about to run the stage and kill Yoji for toy. And then he starts moving towards the stage to kill Yoji.
Literally commit murder. Like, for something that Yoji didn't have a say in.
This is, I mean, Yoji's still an asshole.
Oh, yeah.
Yoji and Kai, I did not see that being a subplot. These like random moments of like the hot goth boy being slowly introduced to only end up almost being a murderer.
Yeah, I was like, there's a, like, how did we get to here?
Yeah, like, in support of his, like, friend toys punk band, like.
I guess he's like, I'm a ride or die gasp
fan. Guy needs to see a therapist.
Yeah.
Because that was fucking wild.
There's other things you can do for your anger management and your, you know, emotional regulation.
Going to murder an idol.
He doesn't
because he gets interrupted by the sound of another band playing at the other side of the park and gasp, it's Gasp.
Oh my gosh.
And like the next scenes are like a bunch of scenes that are kind of like cut between people rushing to the Gasp concert and like Gasp playing, Yoji playing, and then of course Gasp is still missing their bass player, who's like sitting at the bar watching all these goth kids run past him to like go to the venue.
Mm-hmm.
And so like Toy apparently can also play bass, so he's filling in.
Well, and it was funny because I was like, if you're planning to still put on a show, wouldn't you want to include your bass player? I mean, like, I know you're fighting. Well,
he quit the band. He ran away.
Did he? Oh, I just missed that. Oops.
Yeah, that the scene where he fights him, he says he's done. He's like, I'm out. That's it.
Okay.
And then I'm gonna back away from my mic for a second. We got another fucking scene where no one is singing.
Toy has such an amazing voice, you can't hear it.
They are animating him singing.
Mm-hmm. And it's like beautifully done. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's really great animation. But they are not singing. The song is also not really even close to what is going. It's some like random like girl singing this kind of like
a ballad. Again, no punk music in this at all.
No, I still think it's worth a watch, but the music choices are a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I get in this case it's probably for ambience, because it'd be weird to switch between Gasp and Yoji back and forth repeatedly. The music would sound kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
But like at least give it at least a punk song if they're like the main band overtaking the other band.
Yeah,
it kind of gets a pass, but still it annoys the fuck out of me. They did this in Angel Cop, they do this in every fucking
series. They did
this series.
In Cardcaptors.
They did this in, they did it in Cardcaptors. Her voice is so good. She's just like singing. There wasn't even music.
It's
just
piano.
Singing through a window.
Yeah, it was just piano, no singing.
Oh. So Kai and Hitaro are watching from a distance, and it's made clear Gasp is way more popular than Yoji.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even like the executive is like, huh.
Maybe I was wrong.
Okay. And then the bass player shows up. Toy just kind of looks at him and he's like, oh, it's you. Okay. And just throws the bass at him.
Yeah. Right. Which is like always a good idea. That'll never hurt anyone else. And that'll go exactly to plan.
And not like a cool epic where he like tosses it and he like catches it and gives him the eye or something. No, he throws it and he like half falls on the ground and he's like yells up at Toya like, what the fuck, that hurt.
He's like, ow.
But he gets on and he joins the gig anyways.
Yep.
And then I'd mentioned previously there was a trope that happened a lot in the series where like Toya looks at Nia and like does the finger guns and she falls back. He like turns around to face away from the audience and Naya's kind of hanging out on one of the
in like
the
one of the trees.
Stacks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and she like puts her like slowly puts her like little handgun out and shoots it towards Toy, and he like jumps backwards towards the crowd for like a crowd surfing, and we fade away to the shot of Toy in the air highlighted above his like silhouetted fans with the word end in the corners. It kind of fades out. And I was
like, that's kind of cool.
Fuck yeah. Because there's a one thing that stories do a lot is they give more explanation than is needed. I didn't need to see the band end, the concert go well, Yoji's career end, and Toy's band Gasp gets signed. I don't need that. Because that would have been pointless. The fact that they're like, hey, they said fuck you to the executives. They put on a venue in the same fucking park. And then they blew them out the water. That's the perfect ending I need.
Yeah, it was great. I did like it.
So good of an ending.
And then we get to the ending song.
Also, not good.
It was like a piano ballad. Oh my gosh. Was it Nia or was it, no, it was oh my gosh, what's his name? Oh gosh.
Yoji.
It's just like Yoji hanging out, or is it, I don't remember. I just remember being like, this is weird.
It wasn't good.
No, I was like, why did you go with this? Like, the ending is a perfect, like, the credits is a good place to do those little bits of, like, you can show them, like, cheersing beers at the end of the show. Them, like, in talks with, like, signing to a different label that isn't as big. And, like, record, like, you know, they can do other denouement things.
We've talked about this many times where anime outro tracks, like, 7 out of 10 times are just random.
I hate it.
And I know we're talking trash about the music in a music anime, but I need you to understand it is still good.
Yes.
It doesn't match up. It's not what I would have wanted, but overall the movie is still good. And you should watch the movie.
Yeah. Don't go into this thinking it's going to be like a punk movie. Frame it as like a slice of life kind of thing.
But like a darker, more realistic slice of life.
Yeah, like about kind of like artistic integrity and stuff like that. Like, yeah, I would say that. Because if you go into it thinking it's a punk movie, you're going to be disappointed.
No, if you're thinking this is going to be SLC punk, you are going to not have a good time.
That's hilarious. That was the exact point of reference I was thinking.
That being said, if they put in music like it was SLC punk, it would have got a way higher score for me.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm almost tempted to fan dub over some of the music.
Do it. Oh my gosh, you really should. Let's do it on TikTok. We'll
do a before and an after.
Yeah.
So if I had to rate this.
Okay. Yes. 10, I have Mal up right now. So.
Oh, you've actually got Mal this time instead of just IMDb. Mrs. Works in the film industry.
I don't think it's on IMDb.
My rating for this, I'd probably give it like a 6.9.
Wow. You were, I don't know, kind of close. On Mal, it is 6.14.
Oh, that's way off. It's almost a whole point.
It's not. It's 0.8 of a point.
And here's the thing. Don't think a 6.9 is particularly bad. It would have been closer to like a 7.3 for me if the music was a little bit more on point. Story, like, wise, and like the characters, I'd probably give it like a 7.7 or something. The music is what kind of brought it. Again, still worth the watch.
Yeah,
the music could
it's
have
50
been
minutes.
Way better directed. It's 50 minutes. Yeah. Easy watch. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's a fair score. I would recommend it to people. What did you rate it?
Yeah, I think I was about the same. It was like a 6.5 for me. Like, I don't think I'll watch it again. Yeah, I don't know. And I don't even know if I recommend it as like a punk movie. Like,
no, I wouldn't recommend it as punk. I would recommend it as like, if someone was like, hey, do you have any good recommendations for like something music based? Absolutely.
Yeah.
If they said, do you have anything that's like a punk anime? I would say, hey, here's the thing that's about a punk band, but I wouldn't call it a punk anime.
You could probably, like, I would say in this situation, I'd recommend it if it was like someone was looking for a recommendation like that, and I pointed them towards Beck, and then was like, if you liked Beck, this is the movie that was that, or this was the content that kind of like really popularized music animes. And so, like, I'd probably frame it as like, go check out Beck. And then if you liked that, you can see kind of, you know, things like that.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I think that's a fair review.
Or if it was like, good props to the characters. Do you want to see cool 80s like punk and new wave or punk and goth fashion?
Yeah, exactly. Good characters, good design, fun animation. Mm-hmm. Check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was another good watch this week.
Oh, good. I'm glad you liked it. I was a little worried.
Brought me back to my days.
Just going to write down, Mackenzie will like things with cats.
Goth girls.
Oh, man. Well, do you have anything else you want to point out before I take us on out?
I drank too much ginger ale, which is supposed to cure tummy aches, but now I have a tummy ache.
Oh, no. Thoughts and prayers.
Take us out so I can go to the bathroom.
Okay, well, we're going to make this short and sweet, everybody. Check us out across social medias at Animates. I might put out a list of my favorite J-rock music in the spirit of this week's episode, so check that out. Maybe you'll find a new band that you like.
Do it!
Because as you may have heard me talk about how much I love Japanese music on this podcast. But yeah, thank you so much for listening, and make sure to come back next week where Mackenzie's going to have something for me to watch, and it might be good, might be bad, but you'll have to find out by tuning in. So like and subscribe and leave us a comment. Write us 5 stars. We'd love that. And yeah, rock on.
Insert guitar solo sound effect here.